pitched the ball to Bell. That's upfield. 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. What a run.
Kicks it left wing, Lucas. Three-point jumper. Good. 6 seconds. No! Rebound! Cowboys win! Cowboys win! Oh, the Cowboys are going to the Final Four! Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
Okay, Q, welcome back to the podcast. It has been it's been quite a while.
It's been too long. I mean, I'm kind of... I plugged in the microphone and the laptop, and I wasn't even sure if I was going to have to press a button or if it would just work automatically. It's been far too long. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's not good. We don't need to go this long between podcasts next time.
No.
Okay, not a lot going on with OSU sports right now. We're kind of in that weird between, the end of basketball, the beginning of football. There's a little baseball, a little golf, but not a ton going on. Have you been really attuned to any OSU sports right now? Or,
I mean, not really, let's be honest. The only OSU sports I've really been paying attention to are trying to figure out which day I want to go to the NCAA Golf Championship out at Carson. And I saw Kevin Tway at the Bagel Cafe on Saturday in Stillwater. So, outside of those, most of my sports attention has been supremely focused on the Thunder.
And do you get into recruiting a lot, like the football recruiting or basketball recruiting, really?
I don't get into recruiting. I mean, the LeBron Nash stuff is interesting to me, just because he's kind of a national recruit, I guess. And I get somewhat interested in the basketball just because – I guess I can relate a little bit more to basketball than I can to football. I mean, I don't really, you can tell me that this kid's like this phenomenal high school defensive lineman, but that doesn't really mean much to me. Like that, I don't really get that or understand what that means. But if you tell me that this kid scored, 18 a game at a 4A school in California, then I can maybe try and at least somewhat quantify that. But I'm still not really that interested in it. Until they're on campus and practicing in October.
Well, I think for whatever reason, basketball, players who are good at basketball in high school translates better to being good in college. Do you feel that way?
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. I think it's, I don't know what the reason for that is. I would agree. I guess maybe there's just less unknowns out there. I mean, a lot of times football kids, I mean, for example, like wide receivers, a lot of times wide receivers will come to a school and they won't have put up very many stats in high school because their high school didn't throw the ball very much. And so I think that's a good point that people maybe don't pay attention to a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with what you're saying there, that football is more of a function of how good your high school is, the other dudes you're playing with, stuff like that, rather than how good are you as an individual? And there's really, it's interesting because there's not a lot of ways to showcase yourself as a football player compared to, you're going to AAU basketball tournaments, you're going to, the ABCD camps, and you're going to all these different things as a basketball player. It's basically your own brand, your own individual. Whereas with football, it's more like, it feels weird. The football recruiting seems a lot different and more kind of a crapshoot, I feel like.
Yeah, and you really only have that one, you just have the football season through school football to actually showcase yourself, like you said, whereas in basketball, you're playing AAU or whatever other various, amateur leagues or tournaments you play in, or camps even, the Nike camps, the Adidas camps, those kinds of things. So, yeah, football is definitely an interesting beast, and yet we throw out all these, these ratings and the top recruiting classes in the country, and it's all kind of bogus in my mind.
Yeah, and yet we, it's a multi-million-dollar industry that's not going away, I don't feel like. We can talk about recruiting some other time. I wanted to talk a little bit about the baseball team.
Okay.
Just dropped 2 out of 3 to Baylor. I think they are in fourth place as of today in the Big 12, maybe fifth. They might have dropped to fifth. Have you? I mean, do we care about this? Have we followed it at all? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I hate to throw it out there and say it, but I don't care that much. I don't. It's hard for me to get into the baseball, and we may have touched on this a little bit before, but I just have never really been able to get into college baseball very much, and maybe that's because I got my undergrad at a place where they didn't have it, and I never really grew up following it. I know there's a lot of people that did. You know, their parents were really invested in OSU baseball or some other college, and so it really helped them kind of grow paying attention to the game and being interested in it. But I've just never been able to really care about it. And I think the primary function is that their games aren't on TV, and so you don't, you know, the few OSU baseball games that I have been to, I sit there and I don't know, you know, who's up next. I don't know any of the players. And so I sit there just waiting for the game to be over, hoping that the game will be over. And inevitably, you know, I end up being at a game where it's 12 to 10 and I'm sitting there for 5 hours and I'm miserable. So I think the biggest problem is the games aren't on TV, and so you don't know all the players. And so you don't ever, whereas in Major League Baseball, for example, if you go to a game, you know most every player that's going to be up to bat. And so you're looking forward to whether it's that half inning or the next half inning, you know, knowing that so-and-so is getting ready to come up.
Yeah, I agree. I've tried my best to cover it on the side and, you know, keep up with what's going on, who's playing well, you know, what place the team's in and stuff, but you're right in that the exposure is so little that it's like, it's just so difficult to get into. And
right.
I get into the team as a whole, how they're playing, how they're performing,
right.
You know, what place are they in the Big 12? Are they going to make the NCAA tournament? But I mean, it's, I just can't get into the players, and I wish I could, I want to, but it's really difficult. I think it is kind of fun this time of year though, with the conference tournament starting in 2 weeks, and then you've got the regionals, and obviously everybody watches the College World Series, which is a blast. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to that and hope OSU advances as, you know, I hope they advance to the College World Series. But in terms of the regular season, it's almost like a women's basketball or a wrestling or something like that. You've obviously got the big two in football and men's basketball, and
right.
It just feels like everything else is just so small.
Well, and yeah, and it's you obviously want OSU to do well, no question, but it's like I'm not really going to care that much until they get to postseason, and then I'll really be interested in like checking the score and seeing if they won. Or, you know, I say they're not on TV, but to be honest, even if a regular season game was on TV, I probably wouldn't watch. But if, like, you know, if they make it to Omaha, then I would probably watch. So yeah. It is. It's like you said, it kind of turns into a wrestling or a women's basketball where, sure, you want them to be successful, but you're not really interested in paying attention to it that much until they get to the postseason.
Yeah. Well, we do have the College World Series coming up this summer. In terms of OSU, we've got, like you said, the NCAA championships coming up. I believe it's the first week in June. Last week in May, yeah. First week in June.
Yeah, May. I think it starts May 30th or 31st through June 3rd, I think, or 4th, 5th, something like that.
But other than that, we've really only got, the start of college football to look forward to. So my question to you is, what are we going to do with our sports lives this summer? What are we going to watch? What do we care about? What are we paying attention to?
I'm actually kind of looking forward to the summer. The NBA playoffs have been exhausting for me with all these late night Thunder games. Being in the Western Conference and having a lot of the second games on a night where they don't start till 8:30 or 9 o'clock has left Mrs. Q going to bed by herself, and that's not really something that bodes well for me down the line. So I'm looking forward to the summer.
I don't really know where you're going with that.
I don't either. I'm just going to stop, put the brakes on, try and pull it back and re-shift gears a little bit. But I don't know. I think, you know, you look forward to the U.S. Open for golf in June. I don't really get into a lot of Major League Baseball regular season games. I mean, I'm a huge White Sox fan, but other than just checking their score every day, I'm not really interested in sitting down and watching a game when they happen to be on. I don't know. I mean, what about you? There's not a lot out there in the summer to really get excited about.
Yeah, we had World Cup last year.
which you enjoy a lot more than me.
Yeah, I loved it. We also had the FIBA, the FIBA World Championship,
which that was actually really exciting. And part of it may have been because KD and Westbrook played such a huge role in it. So us as Oklahomans and Thunder fans were probably a lot more interested than we normally would have been. But it actually ended up being, you know, almost Olympic like, I feel like.
Yeah, it really did. And speaking of the Olympics, you have these odd years like 2011, 2013, where you don't have World Cup or the Olympics. And it's like, we've got tennis, we've got, you know, Wimbledon and the French, and we've got the British and the US and golf. But I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a pretty quiet summer in terms of, I just feel like with Major League Baseball, you talked about that a little bit. I feel like, I mean, I don't know when the NBA surpassed it. I don't know if it was this year. I don't know if it was 10 years ago, but Major League Baseball is very clearly to me not the second biggest sport in America behind the NFL.
No, yeah, I think that, well, it depends on what metric you're using to judge it on, I guess. You know, from an attendance standpoint, it probably beats the NBA only because they have more home dates and they have bigger stadiums, but in terms of just general interest, I would think the NBA has passed Major League Baseball. I mean, you hear most, even people on sports talk radio all over the country talk about how they don't really pay attention to baseball till, you know, mid-August because there's just 162 games. So much can happen. I mean, your team can be awful, you know, in mid-May and, you know, turn it around and play well and end up challenging for a spot. So it's almost, in a lot of ways, it doesn't, you know, unless you're in a fantasy baseball league, you're not really that interested in it until mid-August.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I don't know if you've been following some of these people tweeting pictures from different Major League Baseball stadiums, but there's nobody going to the games. And it's why would you? If I have to choose between paying $40 a ticket to go to a Rangers game and driving 40 miles when gas is $4 a gallon, or staying at home and watching it on my, you know, 42-inch flat screen with a home-cooked meal and my family there, like, that's not even really a debate, you know?
Yeah, I think all sports are really going to have to start looking at how they price their tickets, because so many people are starting to make choices where you know, I can just sit home and watch it on TV. And I think OSU basketball has lost a great deal. You know, we always talk about it being ticket prices, and I think that's part of it. But I think part of it is more so just that every game is on TV. Granted, a lot of times it's on that Cowboy Sports Network, and it's so grainy it looks like it's 1958, but it's still on TV. And so you don't necessarily have to drive to Stillwater to see it.
Well, what do you think about this notion that I've seen? I can't remember who it was. It was either a baseball team or a basketball team that's building a new stadium, and they're going with actually a fewer amount of seats than they would have normally because of this kind of, you know, this idea that people aren't coming to games, et cetera, et cetera. So fewer seats, maybe charge the same amount or a little bit more, and you kind of create this, I don't know, premium atmosphere that, okay, right, only this amount of people are allowed in the stadium. Do you think that's where we're headed?
Yeah, and I think you see that in some instances already. I mean, the Thunder Oklahoma City Arena holds 18,000, whereas like the United Center in Chicago, I believe, holds like 21. So there's 3,000 seats there, and granted, it's a much smaller market, but I think that you have to be aware of that as an organization. What's your capacity? What can you handle and expect to be successful filling that arena at? And yeah, absolutely. I think that I think especially, of course, a lot of Major League Baseball teams don't need new stadiums. A lot of them have had them built in the last 10-15 years, but I think that you'd see a lot, you know, cutting back in areas and taking fewer seats.
Yeah, I agree. Well, speaking of Gallagher,
real quickly, I mean, it is FIFA Women's World Cup this summer. I don't know if you can't get excited about, you know.
No, I don't do that. I'm not.
There's some interesting pictures on the FIFA Women's World Cup website. Just scary would probably be the best way to describe them.
That's terrifying. By the way, and I don't know if this is breaking news or if we're spraining news or what we're doing here, but Peter Uline just became the fifth Oklahoma State Cowboy to win the Ben Hogan Award, according to Ryan Cameron's Twitter page.
Wow. Congratulations to Peter U, and congratulations to Oklahoma State Golf as they, you know, just continue to be the best in the country. It's no big deal. And hopefully we'll win a national title on their home course here in a couple weeks.
Well, I think it's kind of funny that he basically didn't play a tournament from, it was like October or November to, no, I guess it was November or something to April, because he was, you know, playing in the, getting ready for the Masters, playing in all right. these different.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting one. That's what I was going to ask you, is that more just a function of the fact that he won the amateur and that he's getting to go to all these, you know, tour events on sponsors exemptions or whatever, and more than a fact of his actual play in NCAA tournaments?
I think it's partly that, but he also has, I mean, he's the best player in college golf, really. Okay. And when he's played this year, I believe he's been, I don't know if he has the lowest scoring average, but he's ranked currently the best player in college golf based on his performance throughout the year. So, I mean, pick whichever one you want. He's
right.
clearly the best amateur golfer in the world right now.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy when you think about it.
I have a question for you real quick. As you and I kind of became really infatuated with Ricky Fowler as you approached the Masters several weeks back, and just thinking about the life of a golfer and just kind of, I think several times we both kind of said, you know, Ricky Fowler has a pretty good life or whatever. But when we saw Kevin Tway at the Bagel Cafe on Saturday, I whispered to Mrs. Q, I said, that guy plays for OSU, plays golf for OSU, and he's going to become a professional. And first of all, she gave me some smart aleck comment, like, is that just your opinion or is that really going to happen? And I said, no, that's really going to happen. Like, he'll be playing professional golf someday. and so I just was, I was wondering, what does it feel like to be a 22-year-old kid to have just graduated from college and to know that you're going to start just playing golf for money, like for a living?
Well,
what does that feel like?
I think it's different because I think with Uline and Tway, they've kind of grown up in an environment that cultivated that.
Mm-hmm.
So Tway's dad, Bob Tway, played at OSU, played professionally for, you know, 20, 30 years. He might still play professionally. I'm not sure.
He's on the senior tour.
Is he on the senior tour? Okay. Yeah. So he grew up in a, you know, in a family that's like, that's the norm. So for right. us, yeah, it's weird because our dads work, or our parents work normal jobs. And so it would be like just so different for us. But for those right. guys, it's like, okay, this is just what I do. And I think that, I mean, same thing for Uline. His dad didn't play, but, you know, we've talked about how he's the CEO of Acushnet, which is, you know, owns Titleist and Scotty Cameron and all those companies.
Well, then what about if you're Justin Blackman and you're getting ready or Brandon Wheaton and you're getting ready to play, you know, a season of college football and knowing that you're going to go to the NFL and basically you're going to play football for money.
Yeah. See, I think,
you know what I mean? I don't know. I just can't fathom that. Maybe because you or I, to us, that would be such a dream job or such a, just an unbelievable experience or opportunity that we can't fathom what it would be like to them. To them, I guess it's normal, or maybe they don't even see how fortunate they are. I don't know.
Well, I think it's one of those things where you just try not to think about it really, because if you start thinking about it, it just becomes so overwhelming that it really is. It's almost too much to think about it. So you just kind of push it in the future. And when it happens, it happens. Knowing you, you'd probably think about it every. You'd probably screw yourself into the ground thinking about it.
Yeah, probably
day.
So. Anyway, let's move on. I'm sorry. I digress. Now I just want to become an NFL punter, which I still think is possible if I set my mind to it.
There is okay. Hold on. There's a better chance of me playing, of me basically taking Mike Miller's spot on the Heat next year than you becoming an NFL punter.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Is your microphone still on?
Yes.
Okay. There's no way you're going to become an NFL punter.
So you don't think if I set my mind to it and quit my job and dedicated my life to becoming an NFL punter that I could do it?
No.
Because the establishment wouldn't give me an opportunity, or why?
I'll tell you what. Whenever I'm writing for Sports Illustrated and you're punting for the Tampa Bay Bucks, I will convince whoever
I want to cover.
No, that's what I was going to say. I will convince whoever the editor is. I will put you on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Okay, I like it.
No, I think that
there's actually a story about a guy who quit his job. He was, I can't remember, mid to late 20s, and he's dedicated himself. He wants to be a professional golfer. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, no, I put it on the site. You probably heard about it from me.
I don't think so. I think I told you. Anyway, no. let's move on to our next spot on the rundown.
Well, did you want to talk about that? Did you want to talk about that?
No, basically the story, for those of you that don't know, is that he's quit his job, like I said, mid to late 20s, and he's decided that he wants to become a professional golfer, and he's going to spend the next 6 years. And it's based on this premise from this book where...
Have you read the book?
I have not read the book, but isn't the premise that it takes 10,000 hours to... master something, or
it's 10,000 hours of dedicated practice. So it's not just like, oh, you know, I'll spend 10,000 hours swinging a golf club. It's very specifically geared towards mentally and physically doing this thing that after 10,000 hours you'll be a master at it, and you know, presumably be able to play professional golf.
Right. And isn't the premise that if you spent 10,000 hours of practiced effort at anything, you could become anything?
Right.
Yeah. It's a steal. And so my thing is, if I spent 10,000 hours to become an NFL punter, the problem there is that I'm almost 30. I'd be 36. And who's going to draft a 36-year-old 5'6 punter?
It would literally be the greatest, the most improbable story in modern sports history.
That would be phenomenal. I would be, just give me a number 2 jersey and give me a Bears helmet. And I mean,
do you know who the Bears punter is right now?
Wow. No, I don't. Wait, I can picture his face.
I mean, I'm not like going to roll you if you don't know. I don't know why you would know, really.
Well, because that's my favorite team. I should know the punter, but I know the kicker is Robbie Gould, but
yeah.
No, I don't. And if I don't know if you're trying to prove that, you know, being an NFL punter wouldn't bring me much fame or nothing, that's fine. I mean, I just think that that's a little bit more realistic than me saying I could become an NFL quarterback in the next 6 years. Because, I mean.
Well, is that the argument that we're making? I mean, I could say, you know, I'm going to be the president in 9 years. And it's not like, I mean, you're comparing being a punter to being a quarterback. Well, yeah, I think you have a better chance of being a punter. But if we're comparing you being a punter to being a, you know, sales executive, then no, you're not going to be a punter.
This is going nowhere except to a fiery end of our friendship. I think we can move on.
Okay, I do want to talk about, you talked about Gallagher Iba earlier, and yep. I wrote a post today about the team that Travis Ford has coming back. And kind of my premise was, okay, we averaged 71 points a game last year, I believe is what it was. You know, with the way Ford wants to play and with, you know, not being really the best defensive team ever, I think if we can get to 80+, that this team can win 9 or 10 games in the Big 12. Do you agree with that premise?
That if they get to 80 points a game, they win 9 or 10 games?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could buy into that for sure. I think that obviously, like you pointed out in your post, which was really well written, by the way, that we have a lot of question marks. We have a lot of gaps that need to be filled. We've got a lot of scoring that's leaving, and I mean, basically, we've got two returning scorers in Keaton and JPO, and I don't think anyone's ready to assume that Keaton is going to become James Anderson and score 20 a game. So it's going to be more of a team effort, and I think it's going to go away from what we've seen at OSU the last 4 or 5 or 6 years where there's one or two primary guys, I think you're going to have a real nucleus or core of guys that are going to have to chip in and contribute for them to be successful.
Yeah, I agree with that. Actually, what I want to do right now is I kind of made some assumptions here on how much I thought each guy would score next year.
Right. So
can I run through them and you say, you agree or disagree with me?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Let's go. Keaton at 15 a game.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. How come?
I just don't think that he does enough to create his own shot to be able to score 15 a game in the Big 12. I think if you took his, I think in the non-conference he could score 15 a game, but I don't think in conference he can score 15 a game. Like I said, he can't do enough on his own. He's a phenomenal shooter, obviously, and a great basketball player. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. I just don't think he knows enough scoring off the dribble or creating his own shot to score 15 a game.
Well, he averaged 13 a game last year. You don't think he can bump that up by two?
No.
Okay. Let's go. I had Markel and JPO combining for 25 a game. They combined for 17 a game last year.
Yeah, I think that that's possible, but I don't see that one either.
Man, I should have let you write the post.
Well, I just don't think that this is hard because no one really knows what's going to happen with Guerrero and Nash. I mean, how many minutes are they going to play and how many shots are they going to take? I mean, those are two very, very big question marks that'll have a huge impact on all these numbers you're going to try and give me. Same thing with Mike Cobbins and Brian Williams. I mean, no one really knows what they could be capable of shot-wise. I mean, could Markel and JPO score 25 a game? Certainly. I mean, JPO, I think, could definitely improve his average. And Markel, I think, is going to be a much better player next year. I think he'll have a great summer, and I think that he's the kind of kid that wants to be a good player, and I think that he'll be much better. So I'm still going to say no, but more because of the other question marks than those guys not being capable.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, I've got and like you were talking about, I don't know what the point guard combo is going to be, but I've got Gully, Rijadal, and CJ Guerrero, which he's got like 9 names already. He's not even on campus. I don't know what to call him, but we're going with CJ for right now. I got them at a combined 15 a game. Do you agree with that?
The three of them?
Yeah, total.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, I think so too, and I think it'll be really interesting. I really think only two of them will play a lot, and I really don't know which two.
Yeah, I know it could really. You could sit there and make the argument for any two of the three being the two that. And I agree with you. I don't think you see all three of them get a lot of minutes. I think two of them will play most, and then a third will, for different reasons or different matchups on different nights, will get some time. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. And then I've got Cobbins at 8 and Brian Williams at 6. I don't know really how much Brian Williams is going to play. I think Cobbins is basically going to be forced to play because, I mean, right now I think we only have 10 guys on the team. So I don't know. I mean, I think both of them will probably play and Cobbins will have to play. But I've got, like I said, Cobbins at 8, Williams at 6. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to get some inside scoring from somebody, so sure.
Okay, and then I've got Jurek at 4, which he's not really a scorer. I feel like he can average 4 a game. If he, let's say he gets 15, 20 minutes, he should get that on just putbacks,
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I honestly, Nash could average 30 a game or like 11 a game, and I wouldn't be surprised. I have no clue what he's going to average.
Well, you don't really think he's going to average 30, do you?
No, he'd be the National Player of the Year.
I think he'll average like 12 or 13.
Yeah. JPO averaged 11 last year.
I mean, do we really think that he's going to be like this amazing freshman that's going to score 22 points a game? Very few kids do that. Maybe, obviously, I hope he does, but I don't know.
I mean, who are the guys in the last, who are the freshmen in the last 10 years that have done that? Durant, Carmelo. I mean, I don't, I've seen him play. I've seen him play. I've seen.
That's part of the problem with all this recruiting stuff too, is you have these huge expectations for these kids, and really you do nothing but set them up to fail. I mean, if he comes in and he scores 12 or 13 points a game, that's outstanding for a freshman to come in and do that. I mean, that exceeds Markell, that exceeds any of the freshmen we've really had lately. And yet most people would say, well, that's not good enough, or he was overrated. Well, no, it's those ratings are dumb and they're not realistic.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because it's really difficult to assign, you know, I'm pretty sure Durant was a five star, and I'm assuming Melo was too. And so you're like, well, you know, Nash is a five star too. Why isn't he leading, you know, his team to the Elite Eight? Why isn't he averaging 28 a game? It's like, we get so obsessed with these star ratings, and they don't, like you said, they don't really mean it. I mean, it doesn't, it's just a placeholder for this guy that is going to college. It doesn't translate to anything once they get on campus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it kind of, I mean, I get it. I read about it. I'm into it, but it kind of makes me mad on some level.
Yeah, it is. Like you said, it's crazy that it's a, you know, $1 million industry probably.
Yeah.